I have done 50 motion pictures to date, and I've got one coming out this year, in fact, that we shot in Canada called Puppy Love, and I do kind of a cameo in that. But my favorite so far, I think, that I've done would have to be Vegas Vacation, simply because there's so much of it that is Las Vegas, and working with Chevy and all those people was just such a ball. It's taken on its own life. I was walking through an airport probably about a month ago, because I still do road dates too on weekends. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady walking toward me with her 9-year-old son. And I would guess him to be about 9 years old. And he started grabbing his mother's sleeve when he saw me. And as he got closer and more sure of the fact that it was me, he grabbed his mother's sleeve and yelled out loud, "Mom, Mom, look, there's that guy that played Wayne Newton in Vegas Vacation." And so it was kind of humbling, but at the same time, it was a lot of fun.
That was Wayne Newton, and this is The Sun on the Strip. And I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip in this fifth week of 2019. Pretty cool, huh? That's Wayne Newton. Yeah, I got a chance to talk to him all about moving his show over to Cleopatra's Barge at Caesar's Palace. He opened for previews this week on Monday, and I got a lot more of that interview to share with you. But right now, I feel the need to tell you that I have once again broken free of the luxurious constraints of the Sun Studio, and I am actually on the Strip once again. I'm at SLS Las Vegas, where just a few hours ago, I was part of an unveiling. Well, I wasn't part of an unveiling, but I was I was here for an unveiling of some of the details, some various parts and pieces of the property's current $100 million renovation that started in October. I just posted a story about it, so you can go get all the details right now at LasVegasSun.com. But I'll give you the lowdown. So obviously, this is the ongoing saga of the SLS, right? This was the Sahara. SBE Entertainment opened the SLS Resort in 2014. Didn't really work out. And Alex Marullo, a businessman who also owns the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno, acquired it last April and has been making little changes here and there. Now there are some big changes to show off. Most notably, the biggest thing right now is right when you walk in the main entrance off Las Vegas Boulevard, you will see a completely different look on the casino floor. That center bar is gone. The ceiling is lower. It actually has a ceiling. And it looks great. There's these curvy kind of shell installations up there. It's brighter. It's warmer. There's more color. This is just the start of what they are doing at SLS. Some of the other highlights of what they spoke with us today, and they was most prominently President and GM Paul Hobson, who is a veteran of different gaming companies and was at the Stratosphere before he came over here to SLS. Katsuya, the Japanese restaurant, is closing soon. That's going to become a premium, I guess, high-limit gaming area. Foxtail Nightclub, at least the indoor portion of Foxtail Nightclub. Remember, the pool outside, the resort pool, kind of doubled as Foxtail Pool Club all these years. Foxtail's turning into an ultra lounge, which I think will be better because it will be able to service the casino as kind of the central bar and also will be more accessible than the very closed-off Foxtail design. There's a new Mexican restaurant that's going to open up, a taco spot called Uno Mas. It's opening in March. And SLS is continuing to renovate its hotel room product and other hotel areas. They finished improvements at the spa. So the takeaway here is that the design of SLS, which was a little more industrial and a little darker, these are the words they were using today, that design didn't seem like it was the right fit for the clientele. So they are going in a different direction, and that direction is very close to the way the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno looks and feels, which makes sense. Someone did ask Hobson about the name, if the name was going to be changed. He said they're still having those conversations, and they haven't decided on what direction they're going to go. So he definitely left the door open for a name change and rebranding. It's been widely speculated that SLS is going to be renamed the Grand Sahara. And in fact, I even, in interviewing an executive from a different casino company, he kind of let it slip and just called it the Grand Sahara. So it wasn't the first time. So I feel like that would be my bet. I would bet on the Grand Sahara, but probably not until much later when some of these improvements have been made. They also made it a point, a very serious point, to say that Bazaar Meat would be staying for the foreseeable future. That is the wonderful restaurant from the great chef Jose Andres. Of course, once the casino was purchased by the Marullo Group last year, a lot of people that love the restaurants there, including Bazaar Meat and Katsuya and Cleo, that's one of my favorites, Mediterranean food. We're a little worried about some of these places going away. I'll say it right now, I bet they are all going to change except Bazaar Meat. I think they're going to keep that one, shuffle the deck on the rest, and see how it comes out. Overall, I'm excited about what's going on at the SLS. I'm going to be keeping an eye on it. I'm going to be spending a lot of time there for a bunch of reasons, one of which is that I feel like SLS could become the strip casino that locals really go to the most because it's so easy to get to, so convenient. You really don't even have to go to the strip to get there because it's down there at the north end where there's not a lot of traffic. I think it could be the locals' fave. So we will see what happens next, and I will keep you posted. While we're on the topic of renovating casino properties, there was a report in the RJ a few weeks back that had to do with the MGM Grand way on the other side of the strip. And the fact that MGM Grand executives are discussing redeveloping the frontage of the building. So the corner where the big Gold Lion is on Las Vegas Boulevard and Tropicana Avenue. They got a quote from President Scott Sabella saying he wants to blow it up. Our goal is to blow it out to the strip and open it up like some other properties have done, he said. He's talking about the way that there's restaurants and shops and other bars and fun stuff actually along the strip at so many other resort properties now. And it sounds like a good idea. If you look at what they've done at the park, of course, the park leading to T-Mobile Arena, and now at Park MGM with Eataly right there, and of course in New York with all those shops and bars and fun places to hang out and, you know, throw a band up on a stage, do that kind of fun stuff. MGM has done this with its the renovation that has done most recently. Problem with this plan is that what's inside, just inside on that corner of MGM Grand, is Hakkasan, the multi-story restaurant and nightclub, still at this point operated by the Hakkasan Group. And it's still one of the biggest nightclubs on the strip. This leads me to believe, this is just speculation, I'm going to guess right now, Hakkasan's closing. They're going to close Hakkasan. They don't need it. They don't need it anymore. For a few reasons. One, it's a great fine dining Chinese restaurant. They just opened a new one of those called China Tang in the MGM Grand last year. And secondly, I think we're kind of at the point where we have enough giant nightclubs in Las Vegas on the Strip. That's not to say that this experience is not in demand. It certainly is. It's not going anywhere. The mega club experience is not going anywhere. Look at what they're doing at the Palms. We'll get to that in a second. But you only need so many of these clubs. There's other things that you can do that are performing really well on the Strip right now, like this kind of casual, pedestrian-friendly, accessible to everyone, stroll around and choose what you want to do experience. It's at the park. It's at the Link. You know, it's just the way that things are going. And I don't think MGM Grand would mind closing that nightclub down and revamping that space to take advantage of the tourist traffic there. The tourist traffic that's going to be huge a couple of years from now when the Raiders move to Las Vegas and the Las Vegas Stadium opens and they start having gigantic events just on the other side of the freeway right there at Trop and between Trop and Russell. So we'll see what happens over there as well. It could be very interesting. If they did shut down Hakkasan and start building new stuff, would they get it done in time for this football extravaganza? Who knows? All right, back to our regularly scheduled huge entertainment programming. Christina Aguilera is the new resident for the Las Vegas Strip. Just announced Tuesday this week, Christina Aguilera, The Experience, opens at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood on May 31st. She has 8 shows scheduled in May and June, and 8 more in September and October, and tickets go on sale Saturday. This is another big Live Nation show at Zappos Theater. I like this one a lot. I think it's going to do really well. She had a pretty good show, or at least a well-reviewed tour concert at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace in the fall. And she's still a really big name. She may not have been as relevant on the charts in the last few years, but she's still making music. She still sounds great. And I think that when she was on The Voice a few years back as a judge, that really helped raise her profile. Also, I think it's going to be a good show because it's going to be a little bit like Celine Dion or Mariah Carey in that she just has an amazing voice, like one of the greatest vocalists in pop music history. In fact, she was, like 10 years ago, Rolling Stone magazine did a list of the 100 greatest singers of all time. Christina Aguilera was the only one on that list who was under the age of 30 at the time. So just an iconic voice. She's got plenty of hits to fall back on. She's also experimented with different genres over the years, not just pop and R&B, but dance music, ballads. She's done some more rock kind of stuff, and then even some more kind of experimental electronic stuff over the years. So I think it's going to be a fun show. I think it's going to have a surprising musicality to it, the way that Jennifer Lopez's show did also at Zappos Theater. And yeah, I think it's a good pick, and it's great to have yet another female headliner. It's like every big star that's coming is female, and that's a great thing for Las Vegas. Okay, as I mentioned, the Palms, this is old news now, but the Palms announced a lot of details about its gigantic day club and nightclub chaos coming in April. I don't really want to talk about it more. I'm kind of sick of it already. So why don't you go check out my stuff in Las Vegas Weekly. I did a breaking story about it, and I have a big story in the nightlife section of this week's magazine. You can read it at lasvegasweekly.com on Thursday. One of my pet peeves about this is that I saw some national news outlets covering this in the past week and listing off the, you know, the residents. And 5 residents were announced: Cardi B, Cascade, Skrillex, Above and Beyond, and G-Eazy. which is a good diverse mix of artists for your club. But Cardi B was kind of the most prominent one, and she made a lot of headlines this way, you know, her first Vegas residency. And it was getting lumped into, Cardi is getting lumped into the resident category along with Lady Gaga and Gwen Stefani and other artists that are playing those big rooms on the Strip. And this is different. This is a club. It's a giant club with potentially thousands of people watching these shows. But still, it's not the same thing as going to see a show at the Coliseum or Park Theater or something like that. And that's just it's apples and oranges. It's not a good comparison. There was also a bunch of news and notes saying that these shows are going to be different from the typical, you know, artist residencies, not DJ residencies, but artist residencies in clubs, because of that old standard of, well, the rapper guy is here, but he's just going to get up there and do three songs, four songs, and that's it. Well, Dre's has been doing hour-plus-long concerts from its residents for years. And huge hip-hop superstars, too, like Future, Lil Wayne, Migos, Ray Shremmer, Meek Mill, a whole bunch more. R&B singers, too. Dre's really pioneered the idea of, like, not only hip-hop residencies in the clubs, but also these legitimate concerts happening in the club. And that team over there deserves a lot of credit for that. I hate to see people jumping on something new and say, oh, this has been created by this place or whatever, when somebody else actually deserves that credit. And we got to tip our hats to Dre's for doing what they've been doing over the last few years. Not coincidentally, Ryan Craig was one of the executives who helped open Dre's at the Cromwell, and now he is Senior Vice President of Nightlife and Daylife at the Palms. So there you go. But yeah, as usual, people are quick to kind of skim the surface, I guess, when it comes to these big entertainment things happening in Las Vegas. They don't really get down to the nitty-gritty, but you know where to go when you want a deeper understanding of these things, don't you? Anyway, chaos is going to be crazy, and we're going to be talking about it more here in the coming weeks, and it opens in April at the Palms. One more quick show note. Celestia, the acrobatics spectacular set for a tent outside of the Stratosphere. We've talked about this new show, brand new original show on Sun on the Strip before. That show has delayed its previews. It's now scheduled to open up February 27th. The reasoning, and I quote, is to accommodate required enhancements to the production's physical structure and audience experience. So they're just making sure they got that tent right, I guess. Sounds good to me. Let's get it right. February 27th at the Stratosphere. All right. Now, let's go back to the Wayner. This was actually the first time that I got to interview Wayne Newton, which is kind of crazy, but it was awesome. He was very happy to talk and share all kinds of information about the changes coming to his show, the changes to his new venue, just his thoughts on Vegas entertainment right now, and the fact that he's celebrating 60 years performing in Las Vegas this spring. That's more than 30,000 shows. That's a residency.
What's it like to take this particular show up close and personal over to Caesars right now?
It's really interesting for me because when I would look at the room, you know, the original showroom that I played and Frank played and all the performers used to play, of course, they did away with that one. And then that's when they built the Cinemax and all of that stuff. And this is the barge. And that was a totally different kind of room also, as you remember. And so when they asked me to go look at it, I went over to look at it and made some suggestions that I thought, you know, would benefit our show and the other performers that might be in there. And Caesars was very, very, really anything that we wanted. wanted, they were ready to do, which is really nice. So it's kind of like being home. And so we've been rehearsing the last 3 days, and it feels wonderful. The tech people are incredible. And we'll be doing some stuff probably within the next 3 months to the room also. That will be kind of an ongoing project, but when it's all finished, it'll be fabulous.
Mm-hmm. What's kind of the objective of those improvements? What are you trying to? How are you trying to change the room to better fit your show?
We're taking the water out of the room, you know, because the room was originally built for that the barge or the big boat. And the boat will stay, but the water will go. And we're thinking about putting in seats in those areas, which will make the room larger and more comfortable, and I think more intimate for people coming to see the show. Mm-hmm. And so we'll be doing that, and then we'll be doing some other things, maybe like a rain curtain. And those kinds of things. And then also a great deal of the huge television screens that cover the entire back of the house. Mm-hmm. and the front behind the stage. So we'll be able to utilize the techniques of modern stuff, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's all that kind of stuff that will be going in the next 3 months. The Caesars has almost been like the flagship for Las Vegas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful and exciting to go back there, I must say.
What do you think about the current resident headliner phenomenon? Do you think that is going to continue to be kind of the dominant force in Vegas entertainment, or do you see some changes happening?
No, I think that has finally come back to what it was when I came here. I mean, when I came here in 1959, you know, we had Elvis, and we had a little later than that, but Frank, Dean, Sam, Liberace, all, you know, you could drive up and down the strip, and there was always a major star at each of the hotels. And then, of course, we went through the magician 10 years, and then we went through the people who were doing impressions for 10 years. And now we've gone through the Cirque thing for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's moving back to star policy. And for me, I'm thrilled about it, obviously. And I think for the town, it's really what started the town and started people coming here. So the new group of young talent that's coming here and making this their home venue, if you will, I think is just a plus. And I see it continuing versus, going into other areas.
I agree with you. I would like them to come up with a different name for some of these things, though, because calling somebody who comes in a couple of months a year a resident doesn't seem to do justice to the real resident.
I couldn't agree more. come May 16th, I will be celebrating, believe it or not. You are seated when I tell you this, right?
Yes, sir.
I will be celebrating my 60th year performing in Las Vegas.
You should be the only one who gets the resident title, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I tell you, they might have a way to go to catch that, but I'm looking forward to the next 60, you know, so.
All right, that's going to do. Oh, wait a minute. I got to give you my pick. My big show of the week, I have to say, you got to get to Park Theater and see Lady Gaga if you haven't already. If you can find a ticket, a very expensive ticket, Lady Gaga's at Park Theater on Thursday and Saturday doing her Enigma show, and on Sunday for her jazz and piano show. After that, she's going to be gone until the end of May. So if you get the chance, go see Gaga. I just finally saw Enigma last week. It was amazing. You can read my review right now at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please visit Apple Podcasts. Do that rating and reviewing. And hey, if there's a Vegas topic you would like to hear more about, let me know. You can write in that review. Or you can shoot me an email at brock.radke@gmgvegas.com. You can find every episode of this podcast at LasVegasSun.com. And of course, all the best Vegas entertainment coverage from all of our GMG publications in one place at LasVegasSun.com/AE. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.